Hi footy friends, Alex here. Just before you feast your ears on the football hour, I want to tell you about this class new app called Hoops Connect. It helps you find sporting events and classes in your local area. Ever got home from work and fancied a kickabout? Jump on Hoops Connect and it will show you the nearest match. You can get it off the App Store or Google Play straight away. Now, on with the show.
You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour. I am Alex Mearns and you are the lovely listener. In the corner with me is the lovely Dom Betts. Dom, I'd just like to ask a question. How are you?
I'm good.
That's really lovely to hear. If you've never listened to this podcast before, hello, welcome. As I said at the beginning, this is the Football Hour, where we talk all about very specific footballing topics. This time we're talking about a rather large one, which really gets right under my skin, really winds me up, and it's the English national football team. Dom, are they the world's biggest underachieving football nation?
We would argue that, I think, because we're English. But, I mean, the argument is there. If we look at the team we had maybe for, like, Euro 2004, Wayne Rooney, when he was just coming through, basically in his prime, I'd say.
Yes.
David Beckham.
I love him.
Frank Lampard. Paul Scholes. Steven Gerrard.
Sol Campbell.
Ashley Cole. Sol Campbell. Rio Ferdinand. Gary Neville. How did we only get to the first knockout round in that tournament? I know it was the quarterfinals, but it's still only the first knockout round.
Because, as you said, all them players you named, their trophy cabinets for their clubs are absolutely rammo. There's more things in there than your fridge when it's a Fulham away day. Beers, obviously, not food. Why couldn't they transfer their winning mentalities to the England football team? What was wrong with it?
First of all, we were playing 4-4-2. I don't understand with this team why you're not playing a 4-3-3. If you were to play a 4-3-3, you could have Rooney in the middle, Beckham out wide right, Joe Cole out wide left, a midfield three of Scholes sitting deep with Lampard and Gerrard in front of him. And then obviously you're standing back for Ferdinand, Campbell, Neville, Ashley Cole, and whoever was in goal at the time.
Is it Seaman or Robinson? Someone?
It just made no sense that we were so English.
Yeah.
And stuck with this 4-4-2 when our team just suited a 4-3-3 so much.
It's almost like you could imagine what the team talks were like. Right, lads, two up top today, four in midfield, two in the centre, right at the back, full-backs stay deep. That's every team talk ever said on a Sunday league pitch to a bunch of lads who are absolutely hungover, drunk, and they're about to go onto the field, Dom, and kick lumps out of each other. We were the football association with the most money in the world. The most income. We spend a lot on our managers. Capello was the highest paid international manager. Whatever we do, it just sort of stems that we haven't got a footballing culture and a philosophy. There's no England identity other than
4-4-2, lump it up top.
And work hard.
I think you've got to look not just at the players, but coaching-wise, right? Yeah. Why do we not produce top-level managers? Because when Hodgson got the job, it was between him and Harry Redknapp. I mean, I'm not being funny, but they're not at the level of what Phil Scolari had been at. Capello, Ancelotti, Conte. I mean, even at a moment like Massimiliano Allegri.
Pronounced that well, didn't he? Do you want to say that again? Because that sounded lovely.
What, Massimiliano Allegri?
Oh.
But I mean, we don't produce those high quality managers, do we?
No.
I mean,
sorry, can I just have a go at saying that?
Massimiliano. Allegri.
Allegri. Easy.
Easy.
That's audio porn.
You just
got to
make sure
you
don't
audio
get it confused with Massimo, because some people do. But yeah, Massimiliano Allegri, the current Juventus manager.
He's done it three times now.
Mate, I'm just too good at it.
Okay, so these managers, you're saying they have philosophies, they have identities, their players, when they arrive at their training camps before tournaments, they understand their formations, they understand their jobs, and they go out with a plan. Do you think England doesn't have a plan?
I mean, it's just down to many things. It's down to how expensive it is to get the highest level coaching badges. Like, to get maybe a UEFA Continental Pro licence, that's thousands and thousands of pounds. The young coaches, when like Pep came through like that, he was a young coach. I'm sorry, but Paul Clement is not Pep Guardiola, is he?
No, PE teacher.
we just have never produced elite managers. I mean, Hodgson, yeah, he was good getting a team out of the relegation battle into mid-table fighting for the Europa League places. Yeah, great. Redknapp, I'm not being funny, but bar Tottenham, he never really did that well anywhere.
No. For a guy who had a 40-year...
He pretty much got QPR relegated, basically.
Yeah, he financially crippled Portsmouth.
Southampton, he was
got
shit,
relegated.
Left, and then came back and was still shit again.
So, is there a problem in Britain that we're a society that is quite well off, Dom? We are bringing up children and kids who don't go out and play football. You're 21, right? When was the last time you just went out and played football in the street at a park? All you see in estates is no ball games here. And there's no areas for kids to go and play, go and practice. Parents are scared to allow their kids out on the street for fear of who might be out there. They can play on smartphones. They can play on computers. They can watch Lionel Messi play on their TV or their laptop. Why would they want to go out and learn how to play football?
It was something I used to do like every Saturday, like, because obviously I used to just obviously just go to home games.
Yeah.
So on a Saturday, let's say I'd have Little League in the morning, so that'll be like a 7-a-side game when I was younger, then up to 11-a-side when I was about 13, 14, and then...
Did you score any goals?
I was
but Little League.
I got many assists though.
Oh, was it many assists?
I was Mesut Ozil. Yeah. I was the Mesut Ozil
of the Little
of Morden Little League. But then after
could
that,
he perform in Morden Little League?
Oh, I was quality, mate.
No, could Ozil?
No, he couldn't, mate. No. He couldn't hack the pitch, mate. Couldn't
is
hack
that
the
what
pitch.
It was?
But then after that, I'd go out with my dad to the park and play football.
Yeah.
But I haven't been to a park on a Saturday in a while, but does that still happen?
You tell me, I don't know.
Like, does that happen?
You know that Hoops Connect app I was telling you about at the start? As well as participating in their events, you can create your own. You put the sport, you put the price, you put the number of attendees, and obviously you put the location. It's a great new way to meet new mates as well. The link to download Hoops Connect is in this podcast description below. Let's get back to the footy chat. For the players who did make it, for the professionals, from under 15s to the men's national team, is St George's Park the world's best facility for international football in Birmingham, which we built, we spent millions on? We've got a national stadium in Wembley Stadium, which is the greatest football stadium in the world for me. Are those facilities a bit too nice for these footballers?
I don't think it's too nice. I think they're investing the money in the wrong area. I know it's great to have these training facilities and you need them, right? But you need to invest that money in the grassroots to bring the players up first.
Mm.
For them to get to these high venues. And I don't think we've invested enough money in our grassroots. There's a reason why we haven't produced, apart from the golden era which we had, in like 2002 to 2006, I guess you could argue, that we haven't really produced any top quality players. Whereas if you take the likes of Holland, Spain, France, they're always producing top level players. Holland have produced, even back to Hullet, Burkamp.
Can I just mention them three national teams? Holland, Spain and France. I'd say their leagues, the Eredivisie in Holland, the La Liga in Spain, and Ligue 1 in France, them leagues are full up of players that are the nationalities of the teams. In England, what is the percentage of English players in the Premier League? It must be 20%?
Yeah, it's so low, and that's the problem. Like, an English team, let's take, I don't know, I was about to sway Swansea, but they're Welsh. But just any team who's sort of a mediocre Premier League team, like
West Brom.
Yeah, West Brom. I was going to use Southampton, but they're actually quite good at using English youth players. So you say West Brom, they'd rather probably spend $1 million or $2 million on this youngster in Spain or France or Zimbabwe or wherever to get him in. Whereas instead of all these good youth prospects, because you've got to look at ability and you've got to look at potential. I think a lot of clubs look at ability, but potential can change. You can see that with like, a lot of Chelsea youth players, like Patrick Bamford. If his potential was reached and he was grown right as a player, he could be a Premier League player, but he's clearly not going to be anymore.
So is it not the FA's fault, it's the Premier League club's fault?
I think it's a bit of both, really. I mean, the FA have invested money in wrong areas, like these foreign managers who have not really done anything, investing it in these really high-level, top-level facilities and not invested it into grassroots, not invested it into helping young up-and-coming coaches come through. It's an amalgamation of everything, really.
Oh, good word, amalgamation. My problem is, it sounds strange, we're just not investing enough time with the football. I've said this previously, players just aren't touching the ball enough. the one technical player I can think of who is like a Spanish player or a Dutch player in the English national team is Adam Lallana. The way he can turn, he's good on the ball, he likes the ball at his feet. I think a lot of English players don't like the ball at the feet. They like shooting or passing long, or they can't dribble. They can't make decisions in key moments in matches. And that's what we saw when England had, I believe, the biggest disaster I've seen in my lifetime, and we've had many, the Iceland capitulation. You saw a group of young English players not have any answers when they had the football at the feet, because they're just not used to it. Iceland said, come on then, break us down. It's like we've seen with Leicester this year. Go on, play a different way. You beat us. We can't do it.
What I didn't understand, right, is if you have Andy Carroll playing in that game, right, we would not have gone out.
That's not a solution to English football. Right, let's boot it up to Andy Carroll. Yeah, that's not been our problem.
Yeah, but I don't understand why people are so derogatory to that sort of tactic. If it gets the result done, then I don't care. But I mean, that's not the whole point. With Adam Lallana, yeah, he does turn, he's very skillful, but he's still not a top-level player.
You can at least give him some credit for trying to play that style that obviously other players, when he was growing up, weren't doing.
And I also think that, compared to other countries, I think other countries' players want to play for their country. I feel nowadays that a lot of players don't care.
Yes.
Not like back in the day, it meant everything to play for your country. David Beckham has mentioned it multiple times. Yeah. And do these players really care?
Gascoigne's the same. I don't think he would even play for a club side if it meant he could play for England. That's not the case. You see these players turn up to England and they're just a bit like, I wish I could have gone to Dubai for a week instead of coming to England.
I mean, one big example is Jamie Carragher. He never really cared about England for me. Didn't care about the national team. And
he preferred Liverpool over England.
Even if we're looking at top players like Andy Cole. He was a top Premier League striker. And he never really did it for England, did he?
No.
Shearer did. Sheringham did. I don't understand.
But they didn't take us to that next level. These are very good players.
I think that is the main issue, that we've always had great players, but they don't work for the national team
I think they're stunted by fear of failure because they've been part of failing teams. This is the worry for our young England side. Is the Iceland game, is our failure at the Euros last summer going to haunt those young English players for the rest of their England career? Do you believe it will?
Well, no, because I'm sorry, if you're a footballer, you've got to be thicker skin than that.
You think footballers have got thick skins?
Well, no, but
they're weak.
Yes, you lost to Iceland, but I'm not being funny. Like, a lot of teams get knocked out in competitions. I mean, Barcelona...
Not by Iceland.
Yeah, but not by Iceland. But if that's going to haunt you for the rest of your career, you should not be a footballer. Man up, Jesus Christ. Yes, you lost to Iceland.
Mm.
Who, we probably had more fans than their entire country as people there. But I don't care. You have to bounce back from that. I mean, when England didn't even qualify for the Euros, the players, I guess, sort of bounced back from that ish. But like, it's a terrible defeat, but you have to bring yourself back from that.
Did you find that interesting? I certainly did, talking about it. England always sort of press my buttons. Do you know what I mean? They get me really, really aggy. If you would like a podcast dedicated to you, will you do me one simple thing? If you're listening on iTunes, give us a rating, give us a review. It's simple. Go onto the Football Hour on the iTunes podcast app. Give us a rating. You will have the podcast dedicated to you. We will pick one of the reviewers and you will have the podcast dedicated to you. Sounds fair, Dom?
Fair.
just one word, fair. So, as I say, that was Dom Betts. You've been the lovely listener. I've been Alex Mearns. We'll see you again very shortly. Now the Football Hour is sadly over. Go and download Hoops Connect. The link is in this podcast description and get playing and organising your favourite sports. I'm off to organise a footy game, 1v1, me versus Dom Betts. I'm going to make him look as bad as Mauro Fellaini doing a step over.